This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Boston Sports Original WEEI. Got into a little Bill Belichick there in the last segment, but now it's time for the New England Patriots. It is the offseason for your New England Patriots, and a report came out this week from Jason Lockenfora saying that the New England Patriots will be all in on T. Higgins and should be the favorite, more or less, to land T. Higgins in the offseason. Mego, I ask you simply, do you believe him? Because I don't know that I necessarily do.
So let me start by saying I misattributed in the last segment Jason Lockenfora having the Bill Belichick girlfriend as agent. That was just Pablo Torre. That was Pablo Torre who I thought. So making sure that I get that right. I don't really get this. I think that when you have a free agent like T. Higgins out there, and I don't think he's going to get tagged again because that just doesn't make sense for the Bengals.
Correct.
If they have any real interest in keeping him long term, then they simply have to sign him to a real contract. And they're going through that with Ja'Marr Chase right now. But so I would expect T. Higgins to get to free agency. When he gets to free agency, yeah, he's going to be like a $30 million a year player. The way that the Patriots do this, I think, is in a very interesting way tied into Robin Glazer. Because when Robin Glazer was announced that she was departing, and I believe it's probably around this time this month, right? Because when we got the news, she was going to stay on through mid-February.
Yep.
And we learned that her position was about contracts.
The budget lady.
The budget lady, setting the operations budgets,
yep,
signing off the contracts, all of that stuff. I wonder what the contracts will look like that they give out in free agency. I used to get so frustrated when we'd find out what these offers were when Belichick was the one who was getting these free agents.
Yep.
And they were loaded to the gills with incentives, like just packed with incentives, sometimes incentives that you knew that the player was not going to hit, and then you could roll that over for your cap into the next season.
Yeah.
And that was annoying to me because it would look like on paper this is the AAV that you're offering, and then it wasn't real. And it was very irritating to look at when you're saying, they turned into interest kings that way.
Yeah.
And then when Bill left last offseason, it was the same thing. And I think when you look at a player like T. Higgins, who many, many teams are going to be lusting after, you can't offer that kind of contract.
No.
You're going to have to offer real cash. You're going to have to offer guaranteed money.
Like $80 million plus of guaranteed money.
And that's where I see the Patriots being very aggressive. But you sit down and look at a player like T. Higgins, who has a lot of injury concerns, who's been a number two with the Bengals behind Ja'Marr Chase. And you say, are the Patriots at a point where they are going to go all in, extend themselves that much with guaranteed money when they haven't done that in the past?
Yep.
And land the free agent this year?
Yeah.
Like, are they finally going to do it? I tend to feel like it's like they could, I could see them coming up second again.
Yeah. I think it is very much in the realm of possibility that the New England Patriots make a big push for T. Higgins.
Oh, they will make a push.
Yes. And they want to sign him and they offer him a good contract. But if I'm T. Higgins, why would I sign here?
Because of the money, because the guaranteed money.
Yeah, but there's going to be other teams that are going to offer me equal as much guaranteed money in better situations.
Like, but I don't know, because it's these other teams may not be, and now I'm talking myself into it, their teams may not be as desperate as the Patriots.
Yeah, maybe, but at the same time, I look at a team like the LA Chargers, who it is evident they need another receiver on that team that's not named Ladd McConkey for Justin Herbert to have success. T. Higgins is the perfect guy for that. He's like a big, strong possession receiver that Justin Herbert can just fire it into all over. He is exactly what they hoped Quentin Johnston would be and isn't. And so, like, if I'm the Chargers, I'm losing. I can make a lot of money by moving around Joey Bosa's contract and Khalil Mack and figuring some things out there. And why would I not just invest a ton of money in a guy like T. Higgins to pair with my young, awesome quarterback? And that's a way better situation than the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think that some folks are talking themselves into coming off a Super Bowl week where Drake May is all over the place and people are saying really nice things about him, thinking that Drake May is going to be a magnet for a free agent like T. Higgins, or if you're trying to swing a trade and that's maybe some extra incentive to go with your team. I just don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
Like, I think Drake is a great young player and he seems like an awesome teammate, very easy to get along with, and that he's going to be a great leader in the future. But at the same time, there's like six or seven guys in the league that are like that right now.
Even as a rookie, he didn't have nearly as explosive of a season as a guy like Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud. Like, those were guys that immediately jumped off the page that guys across the league wanted to play with. They were excited about their futures. They wanted to play with them. Steph Diggs was excited to go from Buffalo to Houston to play with CJ Stroud. And guys, you heard it at the trade deadline. People wanted to be traded to the Commanders because of what Jaden Daniels was doing. Drake May has not had that kind of impact. He was a good young quarterback in his rookie season. We're excited about what he can be, but he didn't set the world on fire. He didn't inspire like older primetime receivers, guys like, you know, Davante Adams and T. Higgins and Deebo Samuel, any of those guys who may be available to be like, yes, I want to play in New England because of Drake.
Well,
May.
Deebo may be available now. And so that's why I am really bullish on the trade market. And I talked about this on your show earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I really think that the Patriots should be aggressive in the trade market and try to get either Cooper Kupp or Deebo Samuel.
Yep.
I think if they don't come up with one of those guys, it's a major miss for them. And if you're looking at it from the front office perspective, T. Higgins is awesome. Like, he's awesome. There's a reason he's going to make $30 million a year.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to fill out this receiver room and you're trying to support Drake May, I still think that the first move should be one of those guys on the trade market. And then you go get one of those guys, and then you decide what to do with your guaranteed cash that you have to throw at T. Higgins. Because if you're just going all in on T. Higgins, I think that that is a recipe for the disaster that we've seen these last 2 years. I think that that's a guy who could choose another market over you, like the Chargers, or you could throw a bunch of guaranteed cash his way and have a player who's injured half the time. You could say that with Cooper Kupp. You can say that with Deebo Samuel. But you're going to be getting those guys at a discount.
Yeah, oh, very much so. I mean, Deebo Samuel and Cooper Kupp are not going to cost much in terms of draft capital in order to acquire. I mean, Cooper Kupp, you're talking like a fourth-round draft pick. Deebo maybe like a second, late second, like a second a couple years from now, or like a third-round pick this year, something like that. It's not going to be first round pick kind of capital, which is what you would have to use to trade for a guy like T. Higgins, especially with the contract he's going to get as well. And so, like, I look at it, I'm like, those to me are way better options because this team needs so much across the board. I would much rather you spend a second next year or a third this year on Deebo Samuel and then use your cash to sign offensive linemen, which you desperately need.
But again, who are these offensive linemen? You got like one tackle out there. This is the same thing that we run into with free agency every year. Everybody picks out as we sit here in February and says, go get Ronnie Stanley, go get T. Higgins, load it up, and then all of a sudden Drake will be in an offense that's at least league average.
Yeah.
But it just isn't that easy. You got to get guys to come here, and you're even worse off than you were at this point last year. I'm not talking from like a staff perspective, because I do have a lot of faith in the coaching staff that they're putting together there.
Yeah.
But you're coming off a season where I think you're at a lower point than you were the year before. You have the quarterback. You don't have anything else.
I just think it's easier to attack offensive line in the free agent market than it is to attack receiver in the free agent market, which is why I would rather trade for a receiver, force him to come here, pay him whatever his contract has, and then sign offensive line.
I'm saying you got $110 million. Do both.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly, do both.
That'd be great. I would love that. I just don't expect them to do both. So I would rather you, I think it's more realistic to trade for receivers and sign offensive linemen. And there are a handful of offensive linemen you'd want on this football team. Guys like Zach Martin are available. Cam Robinson is available. Hell, I would take Brandon Scherff. Patrick McCary, the tackle from, or the guard from Baltimore, is going to be available. Kevin Zeitler has been good in the NFL.
Yeah, but you need tackles. Tackle.
Yeah, Ronnie Stanley's going to be available. Mm-hmm. Like, there's guys out there. I think you have Joseph Noteboom, the former Rams tackle, will be available. He's had some injury stuff, so you might even be able to get him a little cheaper.
A tackle. Like, they all have injury stuff. Yeah,
true. So I think there are opportunities for you to attack the offensive line market in free agency with much more ease than the receiver market. Like, the receiver free agency market, it's like T. Higgins and then an injured Chris Godwin, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it for free agents. So it's more or less T. Higgins or nothing.
We're agreeing on this. You have to push on the trade.
Yeah.
Like, you have to trade for receiver.
You have to put the foot on the pedal.
So if you're sitting out there and you're saying, I don't want Cooper Kupp because he's not who he was in 2021. I don't want Deebo Samuel because he's not who he was in 2021. Then tell me who you want. If you think you can get DK, explain it to me.
And I would tell you right now, I think Deebo Samuel's going to have a great year next
year.
Really? Yes. I think people are underrated.
I think he'd have a great year with Josh McDaniels.
Probably. I think he would just have a. I think he's going to have a great year in general. Period. I think last year people forget that the guy had pneumonia.
People forget about that pneumonia.
He had to go. No, but like when you get pneumonia, he had to go to the hospital and get like liquid literally pumped out of his lungs.
Liquid in the lungs,
basically. And so he trying to recover from that and play at an elite level in a professional sport is not easy. And he still wasn't bad. Like, he played 15 games. He had 670 yards receiving. Like, he was still decent, even with pneumonia for half of the season.
They also just adjusted while he was out. Like, they adjusted a ton of their offense towards the new kid that they got.
Ricky Pearsall late in the season. Yeah, and Brandon Ayuk went down. Juwan Jennings was kind of like in and out, but he was awesome as well. Like, I just think that I think people underrate the issues that Deebo Samuel was dealing with last year and still playing through. And so I think he's going to have a massive bounce back year this year. Maybe not like, 1,500 yards receiving, but he could
1,500? How about you get anywhere near 1,000?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I said, he could be a 1,000-yard receiver in a 17-game season.
If he had
easy.
Like an 850-yard season, yeah. I think it would be worth the contract. He is so cheap. I mean, you'd have to rework that contract if you get him. But he's like $17 million a year right now. That's insane. That's going to be like half of what T gets.
Yeah.
And again, you can say, well, T. Higgins is younger and a better receiver than Deebo at this point. But I don't want them to go bargain basement hunting, but I do think that Deebo could be a good fit.
Debo's not a bargain basement hunt. Like, bargain basement hunting is going and getting like Brandon Cooks. Like, that's bargain basement. Deebo Samuel is like a good player still. I think people are just jaded by the fact that the San Francisco 49ers were bad and he was dealing with pneumonia and he didn't have a great season. He's a good football player. Like, you would be happy to get Deebo Samuel on your football team this year. It would be excellent. He would immediately be the best receiver Drake May has played with ever in his life.
Okay, that's a low bar.
I don't disagree, but it's the truth. Let's hear from Sorja and Mansfield. What's up, Sorja?
Hey, Sean Mega, how are we today?
Good,
what's
how you
up?
Doing?
Not too bad. Just played some basketball, but really quick here, guys. I think there's so many parallels that you can make between the Red Sox and Patriots, and it's just kind of crazy how both the organizations are kind of in a similar boat. Like, just to go with the Red Sox, like, I feel like this time last year in the offseason, they wouldn't have made the Bregman trade. And all I'm hoping for the Patriots is they do things as business is being done and not do what they've done in the past, right? So, like, just for example, I'm not saying you go for a Raheem Mostert, but he was on the waiver wire. Maybe you explore it. It's like you explore all options, and Sean, as you know, Drake May was the best quarterback in the draft last year. All you really need, pressure, fix up that offensive line and a receiving corps, right? I'll leave you with this, right? I think a lot of times we get so hung up on this, like, number one receiver thing where I think the league has shifted more to the dual threat, right? A Kupp and a Puka, right? In Cincinnati, a Higgins and Chase, right? And we just, like, I cannot remember the last Patriots receiver that a defense had to double. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Sorge. Appreciate the call. Yeah, you definitely need two receivers, and it's not going to be easy for you to get two in the building. You're going to have to find a way to do it, but you need two receivers in today's
NFL. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that pivot, if you think that's true, if that's a good thing for the Patriots. You don't need a true number one. What you need are two fantastic receivers.
Well, it's, you need a true number one, and then you need a secondary receiver. Like, it's, you look across, I mean, the best teams in football all have two.
Well,
they
but
all
the,
have two.
The idea is that when you have a true number one, a second emerges because true. That true number one is attracting so much.
Yeah, like
of
Jordan
the
Addison on the Vikings
attention.
Probably isn't a true number one, but because Justin Jefferson's next to him, he's awesome.
And that's honestly the fear with somebody like T. Higgins, yeah. Is that T. Higgins is that guy that's emerged because of all of the attention that Ja'Marr Chase commands. And I think he proved down the stretch in a couple games that that's not really the case, that, yeah. That he is this incredible threat on his own.
Yep.
But I can still see why you'd make the argument.
Yeah, I get it. I understand why you make the argument, but a guy like T. Higgins, to me, stands out as a legit number one. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with the Patriots conversation. I dropped my first mock draft of the year earlier
love
this
it.
Week on the Greg Hill Show. We'll get into that as well, what the Patriots might do in the draft, what the NFL might be doing with this year's draft class. We'll get into all of it here. It's Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original, but right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with what
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's trending? Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, taking you all the way up until noontime today on a cold, chilly Saturday prior to the snow or wintry mix that we're going to get overnight tonight.
When is it supposed to start?
I believe just after 6 p.m. this evening. Right. I'm not the weather smoke here at the station, but I believe it's somewhere just after 6 o'clock tonight.
That's what your radars say?
Yeah, that's what my radar, and by radars I mean my weather app on my phone, indicates just somewhere after 6 p.m. tonight. So overnight, going to get some wintry mix. It'll be gross tomorrow morning, my guess, but we'll be all right. Luckily, it's a Sunday morning. Everybody can kind of hang out on a holiday week. By the way, weekend as well. A lot of people have Monday off. You'll be good to go.
I'm going over to my in-laws, and I think it's specifically for my dog.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting invited over for the dog.
Ah, really?
My in-laws' dog passed away a couple months ago.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
So they're in a between dog state.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep inviting us over, but with the caveat of bring the dog.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say like we feel used because...
Well, it's like grandparents wanting to see their grandkids.
Yeah, and it's nice. It's like the one time I can sleep in because my dog wakes me up early in the morning and, you know, I love my dog, but this time of year, it's not fun to go out on a 40-minute walk in at, you know, 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's nice, but I'm also... It's getting a little transparent, Mike and Julie. I know what you're
calling
after.
Calling them out.
You're after some time with the dog, and that's okay with me, but I know what these invites are turning into.
Nobody asked to see Henry all that much. But then again,
what?
our friend though gets mad at us when we don't ask her to watch him when we go away.
Okay.
So
you don't do like a doggy dog sitter, you don't go to a dog sitter place like a kennel. Mm-mm. You do
nope.
A proper private dog sitter.
Yeah, so like our friend has three dogs. She loves dogs. She did like Rover for a while too. So she like watches and she watches dogs all the time. She
Dude,
has people
some people
that,
have like a really bad experience with some of those dog sitters.
Yeah. Our friend Candace is the best. She's awesome.
Have a friend like that.
Yeah. She gets, and she lives on the other side of the city from us. So like she lives on the other side of Lowell. We live. And so it's just like a 5-minute drive over, drop them off. And then
she like Siberian Huskies?
I don't know that she's ever watched a Husky or not.
It's a very specific, this is beef that Arcan and I used to have.
Oh, really?
Because he thinks that they're the worst dog breed.
Mm, because they're so smart and annoying?
They're not smart.
Okay.
I mean, some of them are smart. I should be more specific. My dog's not smart, but she's incredibly independent and stubborn.
Yeah. And has a ton of energy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that she's a little less energetic than the typical Husky, but yeah. We also run together a lot, so
gotcha.
I think that helps.
Yeah, that definitely helps. Yeah, Henry,
my run buddy.
Henry has, it's just like random spurts of energy. It's generally he just wants to like lay on the
Zoomies.
Couch. Yeah, and like every once in a while he'll be like, all right, play with me for like 20 minutes and then we're good. And then I'm good for like the rest of the day.
Yeah. Does he prefer your soon-to-be wife to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
okay.
He also... was originally her dog. I'm kind of like
bonus dad.
Yeah, I have come into the picture since. But like I mean, I've been with him now since he was what, like 3 or 4?
So I have heard the theory that dogs like, they prefer the opposite gender. So if you have a male dogs gravitate more towards female energy.
Gotcha.
And if you have a female dog, they gravitate more towards male energy.
So does Kelly like your husband more?
Yes. And it's so annoying because
yeah.
I am the primary caregiver.
Yep.
And I'm the one that does a lot. My husband does a lot, but it's like when I do something, she comes to me, she expects stuff from me.
Yeah.
She's like, let's go. You take me out. You give me food. My husband like walks in the room and she like falls on her back and she's like, oh my God.
I'm so happy you're here.
I love you. Yeah. Rub my tummy. I'm obsessed with you.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So Henry demands more from Lauren than from me. And he also just follows her around like he is her shadow.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Well, it can also be annoying because he'll just be like, when there's points in time where he can't just like sit still, he'll be on the couch, he'll jump down, he'll go over to the window seat, he'll jump down, he'll go over to the chair by the window, he'll jump down, he'll go to the couch, and she's trying to work from home, and she just gets stressed out by the fact that he just like won't just sit down.
Yeah.
And
he needs a little exercise.
Yeah, sometimes, but like when it's freezing cold and raining outside,
I know.
You open the door and he's like, mother effer, I am not going out there.
He doesn't want to do it. None of us want to do it. It's brutal. It's brutal. Instead, we're sitting around making mock drafts.
Exactly.
That's what this time of year is for.
That's what I did this week. I have officially released my first mock draft. You can find it on the Greg Hill Show Instagram account. I believe we also tweeted it out at the Greg Hill Show on Twitter as well. So off the bat, I just want to point out, I don't believe that a lot of quarterbacks will go early. I think that this draft lacks in the QB talent department compared to other drafts. As much as teams need quarterbacks at the top of this draft, the Titans, the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders, and even now the Jets, it seems like, all need quarterbacks at the top of this draft. I don't expect all of them to be hunting for quarterbacks, though. So that's why I kind of have them falling. And the Patriots are in a position that I think a lot of people would look at and be not very happy with. And so in my latest mock draft, my first mock draft of the year, I have it going Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, and then the Patriots taking Mason Graham, the defensive lineman out of Michigan.
Wait, talk me through those first five picks again.
So the Titans take Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State, mm-hmm. first overall.
Wow.
The Browns take Travis Hunter, mm-hmm. second overall, the wide receiver cornerback out of Colorado. At three, the Giants take Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami. And then at four, the New England Patriots take Mason Graham, the defensive lineman out of Michigan.
Do you feel that this draft is you reacting to the Super Bowl at all?
No.
You don't think that there's anything that you watched the Eagles do in the Super Bowl and go, I feel there needs to be a high priority now on defensive line?
So I had 1-2-3 locked in before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That was something I've been on.
But 1-2-3 is not what we're talking about at 4.
No. At 4 might be a little recency bias. I think a couple weeks ago I was leaning towards Will Campbell at 4. I've since kind of come off the Campbell bus. I think he's going to get drafted later. I don't think there's an offensive lineman that teams love, at least at this time. Maybe that'll change at the combine. But so far through the Senior Bowl and stuff like that, like, I don't think there's an offensive lineman that teams are salivating to grab in the top 10. So I had Will Campbell fall, and maybe some of the recency bias from the Super Bowl leaked in, and that's why I went with Mason Graham at 4.
So I think the Patriots are in a really tough spot. I think it increasingly looks like what they did at the end of the season with Jerod Mayo's last game,
so
when they
dumb.
Won. It was idiotic. Moments after the game ended, we were all pissed off going, how could you let this happen? How could you do this?
Yep.
And now it looks worse because, as you said, I don't think there's going to be teams that are hankering to jump up to 4 because they feel like the quarterbacks are going to be there.
Yeah.
And that puts you in a really bad spot because your areas of need are not necessarily areas where you take that guy at 4. Like, if you're looking for an offensive tackle, if you're looking for a tackle for your offensive line, I don't know that you find that at 4 in this draft.
I don't think you do.
The offensive tackle talent looks really unusual.
Yeah.
Looks like guys who they're not sure if it's going to be a guard or a tackle. And it would be smarter in a lot of cases to, okay, just trade back. Trade back, accumulate more capital, find your guy down there. But I don't know who your trade partner is going to be because you have, as you said, all these teams who want quarterbacks, and they don't need to trade up because nobody else wants these quarterbacks.
And the quarterback class this year in the draft is also hurt by the fact there's a lot of veteran quarterbacks available. Russell Wilson's available. Kirk Cousins is available. Aaron Rodgers is available. Regardless of what you think of those guys, they're all veteran quarterbacks in the NFL that at some point or another have had success.
Sam
Darnold is available.
Stopgap. gaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think a team like Cleveland, who's also kind of contractually tied to Deshaun Watson, is going to be much more likely to draft Abdul Carter one to replace Myles Garrett, who they're probably going to have to trade, and then sign Kirk Cousins to what the Steelers did with Russell Wilson this year, a league minimum, because he's already getting $180 million from the Atlanta Falcons. So, like, that to me makes sense. Pairs Cousins with Stefanski, who was one of his coaches in Minnesota. It kind of all interconnects there. So I think, like, that makes perfect sense. I think Aaron Rodgers, to me, the most likely landing spot is probably Tennessee, which, again, is one of the reasons why Tennessee is like, yep, I don't need to take quarterback at number one. I'll bring in Aaron Rodgers. We can at least win some games right away. Maybe not a bunch, but we can be somewhat successful and build the rest of the roster out while we look for a quarterback. And then the Giants have to take a quarterback. I think Daboll and Joe Shane are kind of forced into taking a quarterback by the Maras because they've been unhappy. They've been kicking the can down the road, and they need to do it. And
I just think this is a brutal test for Elliott Wolf.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be brutal because he's coming off of last year's draft, which outside of Drake May and was a very obvious pick at three. I think if Jaden Daniels had been sitting there, they would have taken him at three and probably would have had a similar result on the season. And 100%. Everybody would still be feeling good about the quarterback. I think you'd probably be sitting in pretty much the same spot. Those are both really good quarterbacks. And it was the most obvious outcome. And anywhere else in the draft has not panned out for Elliott Wolf. No other pick has panned out.
No.
And now he's sitting in a much more difficult position.
Yep.
I don't know that he'll be able to find a worthwhile trade partner. And whoever you take at four, I think just has much more of a... It's just much more of a gamble. It is so much more of a gamble. And this is Elliott, I think, really looking at whether he's going to have this job long term or not, or whether he's going to have the power that he wants to have. And you have Vrabel coming in from his press conference, introductory press conference, saying, Elliott and I have inside jokes. And we
been meeting for hours.
Go get good ones. Go get good players. You know, I've talked so much with this guy. And then going into an interview with Tommy Kern and saying, I think there were some things that were holding Elliott back. Like, everyone is lifting Elliott up, but this is a brutal test of a draft.
It really is. And you not only need to hit on that first round draft, but you need to hit on multiple picks in this draft. Because if you want this team to be any good anytime in the future, as the Lions and other teams have shown you, the Eagles, a great example. You need to hit on multiple picks throughout the course of the draft. It can't just be your first round pick. You need to hit on that second round pick like a Cooper DeJean. You need to hit on those third or fourth round picks like an Amon-Ra St. Brown. You need to find guys that aren't just blue chip first round talents in the top five. You need to be good enough to do that. And if you can't do that, which last year's draft isn't looking so hot, I would suggest that you move in a very different direction very quickly, because that is not going to help you get out of the basement of the league.
So who else do you have going in your draft for the Patriots?
Well, I only did it's just a one round mock.
Oh,
so,
I'm sorry.
All good. No worries.
All the way through.
Nope. Just a first round mock. The Patriots will take Mason Graham at four is what I currently have. Shedeur Sanders goes to the Raiders at six. Ooh. Was the kind of other
sexy fit right there.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think Deion. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And so when people are hearing that Deion would kind of force his son to not go to certain destinations, I think those destinations will be made very aware of that. Hmm. And so they won't even have to do that. I think Shedeur actually, I hear him talk like to Kevin Clark at ESPN. He talked during Super Bowl week. I'm like, this kid might actually get it. Like, I think Shedeur might be a big surprise for a lot of people and might end up being a lot better than we think he is.
How so? When you say, like, he gets it. Like, he...
Like, there's certain times where you talk to a player and you're like, oh, they understand the situation. The gravity of being an NFL starting quarterback. And as gregarious and outgoing and kind of just, like, loud as Deion can be, I think Shedeur is very different. I think he's almost the complete opposite, actually. And that's kind of one of the reasons Deion has had to do so much... kind of done so much Sanders propaganda for his son is because I don't think Shedeur wants to do that. I don't think Shedeur, like, that's just not who he is. I think he really likes football. I think he's actually pretty good at it. When you watch the Colorado tape, I think there's a lot of things to like about Shedeur. And then when you actually hear him speak and talk, it's like, oh, wow, like, he's very mature is kind of like a vibe that I get from him. He's a lot different than how you would maybe expect
Deion's son to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't listened to that much tape of him talking, to be honest. Yeah. So I'm sure that he has a ton to offer, and that fit in Vegas makes a lot of sense to me. Definitely would be a fun watch. I'm just really glad that the Patriots were in last year's draft for a quarterback rather than this year. I mean, that is the one silver lining. We continue to hang on to Drake May as the silver lining to everything. And I think Vrabel will help this out. But I just, the draft makes me nervous every year for this organization because they've been wandering in the desert for the better part of a decade. And it's not getting better.
Well, and it's frustrating. It's even more frustrating knowing that, like, we could have Jacob go through the list of the top, like Mel Kiper's big board of his 100 best prospects, and just draft whatever name he likes and have as much success as the New England Patriots have had in the draft the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's crazy. You could have literally anybody just like look at the draft. You could get your dad to just look at the draft board and be like, ooh, I like his name. He's from Alabama. I'll just take him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what the Eagles did for 3 years. They're just like, yeah, we'll just take the Georgia defenders.
Last year, you could take someone's Keno numbers.
Yeah.
And play them in the draft.
And you would have as much success.
You'd reorganize those Keno numbers. I don't know if that's true. I actually don't know exactly how scrambled the Keno numbers are. Mm. So, but I'm sure Keno's, you could rearrange them in one way.
Yeah, I mean, one way or another. Like,
sorry, not a Keno expert. I stepped on Keno Corner, and I don't play a ton of it. I've only played it once at Kowloon.
Keno's so much fun.
It was a great time, but I had to pull back.
One of my favorite Keno memories. Do you remember the season where we had the replacement refs?
Yes.
And the opening game of the season was Green Bay, Seattle.
Hilarious.
And it was just an absolute mess. I was at a bar playing Keno, and
is that like a regular hobby of yours?
It used to be a lot more than it is now.
Okay.
Who wouldn't want to go to the bar and play Keno and just drink and watch football and like eat wings? Like, that's the best time. And it was, I always play five numbers in Keno because it's $450 if you hit all five. And you don't have to worry about like tags or any of that stuff, you know, when you hit big.
You don't get taxed on Keno?
Not under $500. I think it's like anything under $1,000, gambling in general. Anything under $1,000 is non-taxable.
Shows you how much I'm playing.
And so I would just, and my dad always played five numbers. So I played five numbers.
Nice.
And I hit five numbers
Keno,
that night.
Bringing together father and son.
Yep. Won $450 that night on that, watching that stupid Packers Seahawks game. Ended up buying a PlayStation 4 with it. It was great. It was a great time. Great time in my life.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. The draft, I don't...
Because you guys don't have Keno in Pennsylvania, do you?
I'm not from Pennsylvania. Get out of
here. I'm sorry. Maryland.
I don't think so. Pennsylvania. No, I don't. I don't think I ever... Honestly, I've lived up here for such a long time. I can't recall having Keno in Maryland, though.
And your husband's a local guy, though, right? Like,
yeah, he loves Keno.
Okay,
I mean, he doesn't play a lot, but he would play like in college when he was a doorman.
Yeah, and if you happen to go to a place that has Keno, it's like, well, I might as well play some Keno. I got a spare $10 bill in my wallet. I might as well play some Keno.
Yeah, the only time I played was at the Kowloon. It was like, let's play Keno. And I was like, where else but Kowloon?
When you get Chinese food here in Massachusetts, I think the best way to do it is you go to the establishment, you order there instead of like calling or ordering online, anything like that. You order right there, and then you just go sit at the bar, you have a Mai Tai, you play some Keno, and then when your food's ready, you're out the door.
That's a beautiful night. That's what you should have done for Valentine's Day.
We went to a restaurant, didn't play any Keno, though. It wasn't like a bar. We went to a restaurant, had some sushi. It was delightful. I love sushi.
Really?
Are you a big sushi fan?
So I would say I'm a moderate sushi fan. Okay. I can't get down with like the hardcore stuff. I'm like a crab, tuna, you know, like
it has to be in a roll type deal.
Yeah, I'm very basic that way.
Okay.
I'm very basic. And I do a lot of like vegetarian rolls too.
Yeah,
so
those are delightful.
I wouldn't say I get crazy. I always like the rolls that are not totally healthy that have like spicy mayo on them and stuff like that. So I wouldn't say like I'm a sushi connoisseur, like it sounds like you are, but yeah, I'll get down with sushi.
I wouldn't say connoisseur, but I do very much. I could eat. There are like four things in my life that I could just eat nonstop just for hours and like until I am gorged beyond belief.
It takes a lot to be full of sushi.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's not a great feeling.
No, I would agree.
Here I sit full of raw fish.
But it's very rare that I get that full because like, you got to be smart about it. What we do is, you know, normally, like when I go Whenever my mother comes up to visit, she can't get good sushi in Florida. So when she comes here...
That doesn't feel right.
I know. It's just... I think seafood in general in Florida is not as good as it is up
here. It should be excellent.
It doesn't taste as fresh. It's not as... I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the Gulf of America.
Florida should be killing the sushi game.
Yeah, they should be, but they're not. Maybe it's just... I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is, but regardless...
It's just all food in Florida is just not good.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Most food in Florida.
Really?
Not great.
Huh, I guess... I honestly
not a culinary destination.
I don't spend a ton of time in Florida. I'm going in March, but I will check and report back.
Whenever my mother comes up, we go to our favorite sushi spot in Quincy, and we get a bunch of sushi. And then
you
we
do a boat.
If there's three of us, so like if Lauren comes, we'll get a boat. But if it's just the two of us, we won't. We'll
sushi
just get a
boat
couple.
And scorpion bowl. That's a crazy night.
Right up my alley. I would love like a good like
talk
Sapporo and acai. Like it's just ooh, it's delightful. And then you get like a nice bowl of just like. Pad Thai, or in our case, for Valentine's Day, we got Lauren got a bowl of black pepper udon noodles. Delightful. They are, they're so good.
Shout out, this is turning into like a very fat segment.
That's
but there's a spot in Portland, Maine that does, I don't want to say the name because I don't want everyone else to go there. Mm. They do bacon fried rice. It is nice. Unreal.
Hell yeah.
Unreal. So much bacon in that fried rice. I just ordered that. I'm like, no other dishes. I'm going to eat the whole carton.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I want some of that.
617-779-7937. We need to take a break and stop talking about food. Otherwise, I'm going to get even more hungry and eat something I shouldn't for lunch. It's Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It's Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. That is Higher by Cream. Just one of the all-time bangers, Mega.
This is the song during the Cowboys halftime show.
Yes, it is.
That he zooms in on like angel wings.
Yeah.
It's basically like a swath of big like white wing sheets and he's like carried in.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so good. Oh God. I just have like this insane love for Creed. It's tremendous. I could listen. I think it's their Weathered album is possibly one of my most listened to albums of all time.
Really?
Front to back. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
It's so good.
All right. Enough Creed talk. People are getting mad because we're talking so much Creed and we're
people
talking
are
so
also
much
getting
sushi.
Mad. Do I use the word delightful a lot?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything. Everybody has crutch words. Eh. And if your crutch word is delightful, that's just a nice thing about you. It says you're enjoying something. You're being very positive.
Yeah. Like I'm just referring to food. It's great. What am I supposed to say? You want me to say scrumptious more? Like, scrumdiddlyumptious. That's delicious.
You want to be Ned Flanders over there?
Yeah, right? Like, no,
say
that's
it's
dumb.
Quite enjoyable.
Yeah. Okay, I can mix that in sometimes.
You know what's not enjoyable?
What? What's that, Mego?
Conversation we're about to have.
Oh, yeah, so
the fallout from Four Nations.
Four Nations tournament. The idea is relatively exciting. It would be better if there were more nations. And maybe with the world.
Eight nations?
That'd be cool. I think
seven nations? Jones like Akeefer, the white stripes?
Jones and Keefe were right. You know what? The Goodwill Games in Mighty Ducks 2 was great. You want to know why? Because there's a million teams. You got Iceland. You got Trinidad and Tobago. You got, like, there were a bunch of different teams.
Iceland was the evil team, correct?
Correct, yes.
That's what I remember.
Yes. And, it was awesome. Great, great movie. Great battle, if you will. But the Four Nations tournament, there's really only like two that matter because the U.S. or Canada is going to win. It's not going to be Finland. It's not going to be Sweden. Sorry.
Well, when the U.S. and Canada have a rematch, it's going to be a spicy crowd.
Yeah.
Because that's what they had.
Yeah. So the other day, it was the U.S. game against Finland. Prior to the game, they do the national anthems for all of the nations. And during because these games are being currently played, I believe in Quebec. I know it's in Canada. I believe it's in Montreal. There was some booing during the American national anthem. It seems to be...
It's not nice.
It's been a common occurrence at Canadian events with American teams present. It's happened at a couple basketball
games.
They're
like, why are they so mad at us?
I guess they really don't want to be annexed to the United States.
They don't want to be one of us.
They don't want to be the 51st states.
One of us.
Do you think the players get frustrated by that? Like when they're like there for the game and like all of a sudden just fans are booing them for something that is completely not in their control?
So some of the players were saying that it kind of like fired them up because they some of the U.S. players were saying, I know one of the Kachucks was unhappy and didn't really want to talk about it. I was reading Jim McBride in the Globe's coverage of it. Some of the other guys were saying, like, you know, it just adds fuel to the fire, and we're out here representing the U.S., and we're really proud of that. So I think that's the right angle to take. You don't want to get involved in geopolitics.
We're out here
having a nice hockey tournament.
We're supposed to be at a sporting event enjoying ourselves. Why are you booing the national anthem? Like, what do you do? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the players who are like, yeah, this is kind of like this bulletin board material is the right approach. But it's, I just never, first of all, I didn't think Canadians had that in them.
Yeah. You know? You didn't think they were that spicy?
Canadians are extremely polite people. And I just, you know, anytime that I've encountered a Canadian who was not so nice, it was more passive aggressive. It wasn't like a flat out booing.
Yeah.
I didn't know Canadians booed. I've learned that over the last couple of weeks. These Canadians can be confrontational.
Apparently they really don't like us.
I guess. Well, they drink milk out of bags.
Do they? Wait, that's a thing they do out of bags?
Yeah, that's a Canadian thing. You buy milk in a bag. Ask Razor about it. You guys have Razor on sometimes. Yeah, they have bagged milk. Although that might bagged be a thing milk? Like in New England where they try to tell you that they have the canned bread. Have you ever actually had that?
I've seen it. I've never.
But you've never. Eaten it. You've lived here your whole life.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten the canned bread?
No. Why would I eat canned bread?
Why would you drink milk out of a bag?
I don't know what I'm saying. Why would you drink water out of like a box? And we do that.
No, we don't.
They have like the little about? like juice boxes of water nowadays.
Yeah, because it's more
recyclable. I have when it's the only water available.
You don't go out and purchase them, do you?
No.
Okay, so maybe this is just like a regional thing.
Yeah, I guess. I hope so because milk in a bag is dumb. That's stupid.
Either way, it'll be curious because the next round comes over to Boston. So I don't think
they're gonna boo the Canadian national anthem.
Are the Canadians gonna? No. Oh well, I hope not because I don't think that's the right response. No. I think everybody should be respectful of everybody else's anthem. Are the Canadians gonna travel to Boston and then boo us on our home turf?
If they do, things might end poorly. I think people might get a little frustrated by that.
Yeah, I don't think that would be cool.
No, I don't think so either. Well, this is Ben Mego and Scheim here WEEI. Thank you so much for joining us today on this cold, chilly Saturday morning. We're going to pass it off next to Rob Bradford, live from spring training down in Fort Myers. He's going to give you all the Alex Bregman talk you could want. Keep it locked right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We'll see you next Saturday.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.